Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Ladies and gentlemen, man, I just want to say welcome back. We back at it. It's a fun time to be a Bears fan. However, we do have to address some issues. One of the issues I just want to address, and this ain't to be condescending or nothing, but we're going to go over this episode about scheme, player fits, and why it matters. Because I know a lot of everybody's going crazy with the mock drafts, and people have been asking me about prospects, and I've been looking at certain prospects and not looking at certain prospects. There's a reason why. And there's a reason why it matters. And I know some people like, it's a running joke among some Bear fans, like, doesn't fit scheme, ha, ha, ha. No, it matters. It matters. And we're going to explain to you why it matters, right?
Just like when your girl, just like when your lady tell you size matters, scheme matters, folks. Okay? Trust and believe. You ain't knocking her down, she ain't happy. Size matters, folks. Just like scheme and fit matters on an NFL team. But go ahead, Will.
I'm going to give an example. Like the offensive line. The offensive line has been a topic of Bears Twitter, right? And we know we still need to add there. But you got to know what we're adding. And today I had a tweet where I posted, because I wanted to look up what exactly Ryan Pohl said he wanted in an offensive line. This is what he said. This is the man's words. Quote, "We're going to change it up a little bit in terms of style," Pohl said Tuesday at the NFL Combine. "A lot of those guys, and the message has been clear, we got to change body types a little bit. We got to get lighter. We got to get quicker," right? The Bears offensive scheme requires a certain type of player. And this is why with the Orlando Brown thing, people were upset. The Bears didn't go out there on Orlando Brown because he didn't fit the scheme. You still just got to get players and then fit the scheme around. That sounds cute. But you're not going to change your whole scheme for one player.
Wow.
If the entire offensive line is built a certain way.
Wow.
We can't tell Orlando Brown, you know what, bro? We're going to change the whole scheme just for you. We're going to stop zone blocking and we're going to run into a gap power team because you can't. Because what they're going to do is they're going to ask this man to pull. They're going to ask him to reach block. They ask him to get upfield. And he ain't going to be able to do it. He's going to trip over his own feet. He ain't going to meet the linebacker because he ain't fast enough. He ain't athletic enough. And then the running back is going to get popped. And we're going to be like, oh, man, that guy sucks. We signed him for $100 million and he can't block. No, he can block. He just doesn't do – he doesn't block well for our scheme.
Yeah.
Right? So this is why scheme matters, because we seen this with the Pace-Nagy era. Pace would draft players that didn't fit Nagy's scheme. We don't know what the scheme was, but they didn't fit it. And what did he say? They didn't fit the scheme. You get players that fit your coach's scheme. And that way you don't have issues. Well, I just got this tackle. Well, the tackle can't do what I want him to do. He may be good, but he can't do what I need him to do. And that's what I'm just trying to get at, man. That's all I'm trying to get at.
And that's solid, you know. And I want people to understand that. Again, with the type of heading into this draft, we know that our general manager can identify offensive line talent, whether it be in the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round. Okay? So those that are getting their hearts set
on
him.
You got some people pushing back on that notion, too.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm going
to
let you keep
it. Yeah, but to that notion, I tell people, like, look, man, name me a general manager that can go in and identify – who can't identify offensive line talent but luck up and then draft a fifth round all-rookie team left tackle. Name me one that did it. I'll shut up. Okay. So, you know, that's my thing. And it's like, we don't know where they're going with this draft, because at this point we're all guessing. I don't want people to get their heart set and be, you know, if he doesn't take an offensive tackle with the number nine pick, if he doesn't take a wide receiver with the number nine pick, we don't know if he doesn't take an edge rusher with the number nine pick. We don't know where they're going, okay? We can only speculate. But he did say he's going to draft best player available, all right? Best player available. That means that he sets up his board and he's going to hold true to his board. He don't give a damn if Jalen Carter is there at number nine. If Jalen Carter is under, let's say, whoever else he has above Jalen Carter and they're available, then he's taking the person that he considers the best player available. Same reason why he passed on an offensive tackle in the second round last year and he took Kyler Gordon and, yeah, and Jaquan Brisker, because they were the best players available that were at that point where he wanted to draft. So understand that, folks. So I don't want to hear the bitching and belly aching about whoever he picks, because again, he wants blue chip players. I listen,
we have so many needs.
Exactly.
And I want to be clear too. I want to be clear about this, right? And I'm going to let DeVore finish and then I'll go again. But I want to be clear, when he's saying that he's going to draft the best player available, he's got his board up there. That board is it's basically with regard to the Bears' scheme, defensively, offensively, right? Mm-hmm. So their scheme, where do these players fit? Jalen Carter may fit great in this scheme, but he may be the third or fourth guy in this scheme, right? So it depends on what the Bears' scheme is and where guys get drafted. This you know, like, for example, Brisker, Kyler Gordon, they fit the scheme, the idea of what Matt Eberflus, what their vision is for the defense, right? It fits that. So those were the best players available for their system. Let's not get it twisted, people. You know what I'm saying? There are going to be guys that get drafted, maybe 35, that you know, some people would have said, no, he's a 22 in talent. You know what I mean? But for their system, that's what he fits. So constantly, you got to focus on that. Go ahead, DeVore, and then I'm going to chime in again.
Yeah. So, you know, I just want people to understand that. So he's going to stay true and stick true to his board. And the reason why, he's not going to pass up a perennial all-pro running back just to go and get a guy to fit his need at left tackle or wide receiver and vice versa. He's not going to pass that up. And he said that out of his own mouth. If I see a guy that could be a perennial all-pro for the next 10 years, and I know he's going to be an all-pro for the next 10 years, I'm not passing that up, because I could have drafted that all-pro. And that's what keeps you around as a general manager, flat out.
That's why people were going against me. Like I said, any out of the realm of possibility, they draft a corner. What if one of those guys they look at,
yeah, Witherspoon.
It might be Witherspoon or Gonzalez, and they know they can.
Or Gonzalez.
Yeah, and plug them next to Jalen. Now you got the best secondary in NFL.
People never know.
I think we need this more, but like, we don't know how they got them rated.
Facts.
I like Paris Johnson Jr. Well, they got Paris Johnson Jr. rated at 80, and they got Gonzalez rated at 88. Who you think they're going to draft? A Witherspoon. They're going to draft them.
Yeah,
exactly. Because we need a corner.
Without a doubt.
And the thing about it is that when you look at these players, like Dan was saying, how to have them ranked, because I pulled up a young guy. He's my like a third round draft pick because he fit the physical profile of what they want in a tackle. Because you gotta look at all these tackles. You be like, nope, that guy don't. If you read, go to Draft Network, if you read that profile and it does not say they are athletic, they don't have lean body mass, and they can't get out and pull and do a reach block, they probably not gonna draft them. And you should go through every tackle in the draft and be like, does this guy look like, is he 6'5", 310 pounds, and athletic? Then he probably on a draft board. If he not, if he like 350, 6'2", he ain't on a draft board. I'm telling you right now, bro.
Mm-hmm. That's just what it is.
Exactly. And then, you know, you got to figure out too, you know, where these guys fit. You know, in the systems that they were playing in college, maybe that college system wasn't conducive to their skill set. Mm-hmm. But the Bears can identify qualities and traits and body types that, oh, that's going to fit what we're trying to do, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe when these people are looking at these guys' numbers, they're drafting according to what their numbers are or what their stats you know what I mean, pointed to. But at the end of the day, you got to match up body type, traits, attributes, all of that stuff with what you see on tape. And then when guys are looking at tapes, trust me, guys are not looking at tapes and saying, oh, he blew this guy up. He made a tackle there, or he got in, he made a sack there. Did he win? Did he beat his man? Mm-hmm. You're matched up against one other guy. Did you beat him? Did you beat him here? Did you beat him here? Oh, there's a consistent theme that this guy is getting beat, right? He's beating this guy, or vice versa, offensive lineman. If mm-hmm. you're constantly getting beat, then your grade is going down. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Doesn't matter if the guy didn't get to the quarterback or not, right? Mm-hmm. If you're blocking and you got beat and you got embarrassed on that play, it shows up on tape. It doesn't matter if the
and how you got beat is important too. Yeah,
how you got beat
by speed on the outside.
Pushed? Yeah, exactly. Did you mm-hmm. get pushed? Did you get bull rushed? What happens? So it's a lot that goes into this, people, and we're not trying to belittle anybody, but we're trying to at the same time educate, but we're also trying to get you to understand that, hey, we don't always have all the answers.
No,
this is good. This is a science. Like these guys are smart. The guys that do this work, mm-hmm. defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, guys that put these teams together, these guys are smart. They're going to do some of these things. And it's one of the reasons why when we signed, you know, Edwards and we signed Edmonds, all of us immediately knew who was playing where, right? Mm-hmm. It just came out. It was made mention that, you know, Tremaine Edmonds is going to be the middle linebacker, the Mike linebacker. We knew that the day he was signed. Mm-hmm. But you had some people that were saying, no, he's going to be here. He's going to be the Will. Okay, you got to look at the body type. You got to look at what mm-hmm. he does on exactly. the football field. You got to look at how it matches up. And then you can see if you know the scheme or what they're trying to do, and they're telling us this. Like Eberflus, it's no secret. We know what Eberflus' scheme is. We know what Getsy wants to do on offense. We know what they're trying to build. So focus on what the Bears are trying to build, and then figure out, you know, what players are good for this system or bad or whatever. Because a lot of y'all are just throwing out names just because, oh, he's rated high or he had a ton of stats in college, and that's not how it works.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it's about. It's like we said, it's more. It's people that know more than us, right? It's people that know way more than us. But the little bit I do know is that I see a lot of that, and I see, and you know what happened when the draft comes, then they be like, why didn't they go to, and we saw it in free agency. Why didn't they target this guy? Why didn't they sign this guy? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? And if you like understood that, it's a simple kind of thing. If you just understood that thing about the scheme, like they looking for a certain type of edge rusher, right? In this scheme, the edge rusher's got to be like 250 to like 270. If you see a guy, he 240 pounds, he probably not really good for this game. And I know it was one guy that's a free agent. They maybe sign him, maybe they won't, but he'll be limited in the scheme if they do. Is Yannick Ngakoue. He's 240-something. The reason why people are like, why did the Bears sign him? Because he can't set the edge. If you sign him, he's going to just be a situational pass rusher, which is fine.
Like
Robert Quinn. So if the Bears do offer him money, it's going to probably be less than what he wants because he wants to go to the scene where he can actually just play every down and get more money. So the Bears are probably like, we only value that position of situation where edge rushers at $3 million a year. He's like, I want more than $3 million a year. I'm like, bro, you only go play 40% of the snaps mm-hmm. in our scheme because you can't stop the run.
And somebody, I made mention of that. Like I talked about Yannick Ngakoue. To me, he's the best defensive end available out there in terms of getting to the pass rush, right? In terms mm-hmm. of that. And I've talked about it, 10 sacks, 9.5 sack season, 12 sack season. He's produced at every single stop that he's been at. But there's a reason why he keeps going from team to team. And that's because he's terrible against the run. Mm-hmm. He's bad against the run. So when you're mm-hmm. bad against the run, then that's what happens. And you get exposed in that regard. So a guy like him, while he is the best available out there, for this scheme, he's not the best available. And look no further, people, than, you know, we've compared what Eberflus and what these guys are doing defensively, to what we had with Lovie Smith, right? You could see a clear, you know, okay, tall, long, big Mike linebacker and Tremaine Edmonds, mm-hmm. just like Brian Urlacher, tall, long, big, fast, strong. You know what I mean? Now look at mm-hmm. the defensive ends. When you're talking about defensive ends in this system, who did we have? A Gunnlier. We had Alex Julius Brown. Peppers, Alex Brown. These are dudes 6'5", 6'6", 200, you know, 6'4", 6'3", even, but 270 yeah. pounds, 280 pounds, 200, you know what I mean? We didn't have nobody 245. We didn't have nobody mm-hmm. 250 that was out there.
I think Mark Anderson was. And he was.
Mark Anderson, but he was.
And he was a situation. Yeah, he was limited. Situational. Yeah.
So, and I was talking to somebody, and I'm just going to be clear on this because I know it's going to come back because we do have our trolls, right? So when I'm talking about Yannick Ngakoue, go back and look at my tweets. I even said it. If the Bears get him, he's a situational guy, which means somebody else is going to have to step up. So now, instead of just signing Yannick Ngakoue, now you got to sign another guy that's going to come in there and be able to set the edge and play play for the run, right? And then when you have Yannick Ngakoue in the game, you know that we've exposed
ourselves. Third along,
yeah. You know what I mean? We know what we want to do, so
Yeah, and they go line, and if they can get ballsy and say, oh, we're going to run on his side on 3rd and 7. Yeah, and that's the thing is that you gotta understand that's what they're gonna do. And a lot of people, they just think, oh yeah, he's good. Let's put him over there, and we good. No, it's more to it, man. And the same thing with the corners. Remember how the Lovey corners won? They like six foot corners like Peanut Tillman. You know, that's what they like. Now there are exceptions.
Tackling.
Because you had Jennings. And he was a short guy, but he was uber athletic. Then that's what they want. They want tacklers. They want athletic guys, guys who make plays on the ball. So, yeah, it's a certain type of player they want. And like you said, there's other guys. It's one guy. He played edge in college. The dude from Northwestern. I can't pronounce his name.
Played edge in college?
I forgot his name. He's African name. He blew up the combine.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but in our system, he can play three technique. So you got to be able to identify because he's like 6'3", 290. That's a 3-tech in the 4-3 system because they want him to be able to penetrate and push the pocket.
Exactly.
You know, so so there's certain guys that are edges in a 3-4 scheme that'll be a 3-tech in a 4-3 scheme. So it's just kind of have that baseline knowledge of what they want. Like as far as like wide receivers, the main thing they want out of wide receivers is to be able to block. You know what I mean? They want their wide receivers to be able to block is one of the main things that they, you know. But hey, you got to be athletic. It seems like to me, like,
y'all remember that dude, Jonathan Ballard, that the Bulls, Bears drafted from Florida?
Yeah.
He was like 285.
Yeah.
And he played defensive end at Florida, but he could play in the middle. He could play that 3-tech.
Yeah, 3-tech. Yeah.
And
yeah.
with the Bears, you know what I mean? Now, he wasn't good or anything like that.
Yeah.
But he was a backup or role player, but that was what they drafted him for. They didn't draft him necessarily to be the edge rusher to go get the quarterback over and over. That was Alex Brown. That was those other guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly that's all I'm saying, man. You just gotta pay attention because it's gonna save you a lot of heartache when they don't draft a player that you wanted, or they don't sign a player that you wanted. Is that you just gotta understand that aspect of it. And man, the beautiful thing about it is we got 10 picks. Like if you like when I look at a tackle wide receivers, I'll look at whoever might go in the first round, and I also look for guys in the later rounds because, like we said earlier, we don't know what they're gonna do with the first round draft pick. And if they miss out, they got so many needs. They need tackles. They need cornerbacks. You know, they need edge rushers. They need interior defensive linemen. They need a center. You got 4 picks in the first 3 rounds, man. So it can go any way. It can go any way. And you guys got to make sure that first guy you draft can walk in here day one, fill a need. We got many. And start day one and contribute right away.
Yeah. That's why, you know, one of the reasons, I mean, Jalen Carter, I don't know, man. A lot of people are still high on him. There's a lot of question marks when it comes to him for me. And then he's so big, man. Is he the 3-tech that you want? You know what I mean? Like the 3-techs that I see, look at Tommy Harris. He wasn't as big. He wasn't 340 pounds, 300, you know what I mean? 30 pounds or whatever. You know what I mean? That's not cool. How they get down. Talking about 280 to 290, 295.
I don't think he's that.
Who was that?
Yeah, they got him.
No, Jalen, he's like 230 or something like that. No. 6'5 to like 330. My bad, 330.
Now they got him at 6 feet, 300.
That's it?
Yeah.
When is that?
What, Draft Network got him at 6'3, 310.
Was that at the combine? Because, you know, he did come in 9 pounds heavier than the combine.
His combine was 6'3. Yeah, combine 6'3", 314.
All right, so 9 pounds heavier than that.
Yeah. So, yeah, his profile, I'm looking at Draft Network. Yeah, they got him at Draft Network, got him at 3 technique D line. It wouldn't shock me if they draft him. He's available. If he's available, but I don't know if what that background. That's my take on Carter. I think if he checks out and he's there, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me. But like I said, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because some guys, they don't even have them on their draft board because of character concerns. They just scratch them off.
That's true.
So it's a possibility they could be like, man, we ain't risking this number 9 pick for this dude. That's you know what true. I mean? Like, That's we true. Just don't know.
And you know, you look at it, and there are some teams that take chances on questionable guys or questionable characters, but it's not a team that's in the process of building a roster. Mm-hmm. Those are the teams that take a chance on it is a team that already has, overloaded with talent, right? Yeah, so they have plenty of guys. It's like, it's not going to hurt them. It's not going to set them back. But see, if we draft a guy at 9, and he has some issues or some concerns, and maybe it manifests itself. Now we've been set back. Now we got the guy, you know what I'm saying? And we've been set back. We need all of our draft picks to kind of be day one contributors, you might say, on this squad.
Okay. So. Yeah. And that's the thing, because if you draft him at 9, you're expecting him to come in day one on that defensive line and wreak havoc. You know what I mean? You expected him day one to come in, you the 3-tech, you recap it. And he could. That's why we said they do way more research than us. They got private investigators, bro. They got dudes that work for the CIA. You know what I mean? Like, these organizations are $1 billion organizations. They got CIA members, FBI members doing background checks.
What was that? Remember that story? I think we told it one time of Justin Blackmon.
Yeah.
And they had a private investigator kind of like following him before the draft. And one team said that they followed him. They was kind of just, you know, paying attention to what he did, his activities. Yeah. He went to the bar every single day. Every single day he was at a bar. And they was like, nah, you know what I mean? Every single day? Every day, bro? Every day. So they was like, nah, they didn't take a chance on it because it was like they knew he had some issues with drinking and alcoholism.
Yeah.
And true enough, it manifests itself in the NFL. So, you know, is it fair for guys to do that? Or follow, you know what I mean? Hey, you call it what you want, but it's their money.
They give you business. Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
They give you millions of dollars. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I would do it. I mean, I'm about to give you millions of dollars.
I gotta make sure you want up and up, man.
About to give you $20 million, bro. You about to hell, yeah. Yeah, Ben's probably got private investigators following Jalen Carter right now.
I'm sure.
Talking to his first grade teacher, his third grade teacher. No, man, like you better. And then that's the thing. We don't know because the Bears could go. When people talk about what do you think the Bears are gonna get, like I think they should go line, but I'm not the Bears general manager. I'm not Ryan Poles. My neck ain't on line. I can get on Twitter and say whatever the hell I want to say, but I ain't the one that's going to answer when we ain't winning, right? So I don't know if the hell the Bears are gonna draft Jalen Carter. What I do is mentally, I tell fans, I pick like 7 players who I think the Bears could possibly draft in the first round.
And I'll be okay with any of them.
Be okay with it. Like, so you, because you, if you say, well, I want this guy, you don't get, only guy I ever felt that way for. I felt that way for 2 people. I felt that way about Deshaun Watson, and we didn't get him, and I threw my damn remote. And I felt that way about Justin Fields. And those are the quarterbacks. Because I know how important quarterback, everything else, I'm like, okay, I can pick Jalen Carter, Paris Johnson Jr., Broderick Jones, Smith and Jigba. I'm good with Gonzalez, Weatherspoon. Right. And, you know what I mean? Skronsky. Those are 7 guys. I got 7 names. So if I hear one of those 7 names, I'll be like, okay, we good. If you say some off the wall shit, like with Phil Emery, Shay McClellan. I ain't know who this dude was. I had to go YouTube him. Now we got issues.
Shay McClellan. Oh my God.
When we had Chandler Jones sitting on the, Whitney Merciless sitting on the board, and we picked Shay McClellan. The dude that didn't even fit our scheme.
Didn't fit it at all. He was an in-between guy. Was he a linebacker or a defensive end? Nobody knew.
That boy.
Nobody still don't know. They still don't know. He played, been on several different teams. Still don't know what he fit good at. And he's
out. Put him in middle linebacker, remember?
Yeah, he worked out briefly in New England when they won a Super Bowl. That Super Bowl that they got against the Falcons. He won. He was a part of that team and was a contributor, whatever.
Then they put him finally at an outside linebacker, rusher. Because that's what he was. He was a stand-up outside linebacker. Yeah. And he tried to put his hand in the dirt at 240. Yeah. He looked small as hell. Like, he was like 6'2", 240, getting blown up, dude. Tackles were smoking him. And that's what we talk about scheme. Oh, no, you just draft good players and worry about it later. No. Unless they had generational talent, unless they Lawrence Taylor.
No.
You need to draft players that fit your scheme.
Exactly.
You need to draft players that fit your scheme, man. Because if not.
Got to.
I want to talk about something too, man, about what's up with all these outside fan bases hating on the Bears, man. I'm starting to see Eagles fans hate on the Bears. I don't engage these other followers do, man. But they engage the Panthers fans are hating on the Bears, the Vikings fans, the Packers fans, and they in hell right now. They're about to come crashing down.
They're hating because they know. They know what's coming. And they know that this is going to be for a while. This ain't going to be no flash in the pan like, you know, 2018, one season, one and done. No, this is going to reign for a very long time. Where it was like in the 80s, you know, from 85 on through to about 90, 91, you know, you're going to have to see Chicago at the end of the day. You're going to have to see about them. Where the NFC was a three-team race from 84 till about 90, 91. That was between the Chicago Bears, the New York Giants, the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, 49ers. Yep.
Here and there, you'll get the Los Angeles Rams in there. You know what I'm saying? But the three consistent teams that you had to battle and deal with was the Chicago Bears, the San Francisco 49ers, and the New York Giants. That's it. And it's going right back to that in that format or that formula. So not saying that the Giants are going to be relevant in today's game. However, they did make the playoffs and they beat the Vikings. So, but what I'm saying is that the longevity of our Chicago Bears is going to be about a 7-8 year run to where we're going to, you know, I want to see us going like the success that the San Francisco 49ers had the last 4 years in the NFC Championship game, you know. I want to see that type of success for us. Now, whether we pull it off and get to the Super Bowl, I hope we do more so than not. But I this is definitely something it's a changing of the guard where Green Bay was always in the NFC Championship, even though they wasn't winning it, but they was there. So they were, you know, arguably one of the four best teams in the NFL year in and year out. That's how I want our Chicago Bears to be.
Exactly.
And that starts with the foundation that's being built today. New stadium. I can't wait till that new stadium is built. That's going to be dope. Baby. That's going to be dope as hell because, again, you're going to have on-site gambling, on-site restaurants, on-site hotels. So you don't have to leave the field at all. You don't have to leave the stadium at all because it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything around it is going to be there. So that's going to be so dope. Shopping and everything else. That's all going to be there. So on the premises. So that's going to be dope as hell. So I can't wait. And then on top of that, we have a winning, contending football team year in, year out. We have our franchise quarterback. We're going to have everything set. And what's so sweet about how Ryan Poles has, if ain't nobody paid attention to these contracts, to these free agents that he's been signing, quite essentially, they've been given 2-year deals.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know who comes up for his contract in 2 years? Justin Fields.
Exactly.
So therefore, he has all the money to go ahead and sign him to whatever he feel, whatever they come to an agreement with to pay him to where he's I'm not hitting free agency market.
I'm glad you brought this
and
stuff up.
And nothing like that. Because, yeah. Again, he knows that, okay, I have money now to retain my star. I can get other pieces to go around my star. They can come and go. Those are interchangeable pieces.
Exactly.
But this piece, is not interchangeable. And I've recognized him as a star. I know he's a star. And I'm going to pay him as a star. Trust and believe. All this that Justin is taking right now, this beating Sunday in and out, you know what I'm saying? I mean, getting the daylights beat out of him Sunday in, Sunday out. He's going to be compensated for that, folks. All you got to do is stay the course. It's going to get easier for you for the longevity. We're looking at tomorrow. As I say all the time, you'll thank me tomorrow. Ryan Poles is operating on the same format. You'll thank me tomorrow for what I'm doing today. And you may not see it now, but when we're, again, the kings of the north year in and year out, And when we're reigning supreme over the NFC, and possibly maybe a couple years where we bring back a Super Bowl to Chicago since 85, you'll thank me. You'll thank me. Yeah. You'll thank me later.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good, you know, good topic to bring up, though, is the whole payment thing. We see what's going on with, you know, guys like, you know, Lamar Jackson, who's, you know, struggling to get paid. We saw Dak Prescott struggle to get paid. You saw Josh Allen get paid right away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Buffalo was the one team that did it very smart. You know what I mean? And they signed the guy, and now it looks like a great deal, but it's just going into, it's just going to take it. You know what I mean? His first 5 years, he was under contract. So the extension that they gave him happens year six, which he's about to go into. And now that deal looks great. It looks gravy compared to $50 million that other quarterbacks are getting. He's going to be at 41. You see what I'm saying? And that's because they gave him money early. And so, you know, I hope that the Bears will follow suit and do the same thing. I hope that they will. It depends on a little bit of it is going to depend on the McCaskies and how much they're able to give in terms of like signing bonus, right? If they're able to give him a signing bonus, then they can get that deal done after next year, at the end of next year. After year three, give him his money, because you got him for year four. You exercise the option for year five, and then his real contract that you give him money for won't go in until year six. And then at year six, when everybody else, all the other people that are in this draft class, like Trevor Lawrence even, right? Trevor Lawrence, what if Jacksonville waits? Now he's going to get getting paid, you know, $60, $65 million instead of $50 million. Justin will be on that pay scale, right? Mm-hmm. But he would have accepted it because he's going to get a lot of that money in signing bonus early. And that's what you call the hometown discount, right? Mm-hmm. When a team comes to you and says, you know what, in good faith, show us some love on the back end, we'll show you some love right now and pay you early. And it's a give and take right there, right? But if you let him play his whole contract out 4 or 5 years and then you try to sign him, now it's like, I need that top dollar. I need top dollar. You know, so that's, you know, that's what the Bears are looking at. Hopefully, you know, hopefully he balls out and then they sign him to a deal, extend him at the end of this year. That's what I hope they do.
Yeah. I like the way, and that's a good topic I wanted to bring up, because I like the way the Bears are doing it. You seen, we got into, it was in a little debate. It was like with a couple people about free agent spending and what Ryan Pace did. The Bears are second in spending in free agency this year, right? Okay, so it's not like they're not spending money. You get people upset because they didn't get the guy that they wanted. They wanted a Pro Bowl center to manifest out of thin air. I don't know where the hell the Pro Bowl center was coming from, because there wasn't one on the market. Yeah. There wasn't one. They tried to sign McGlinchey. His price got too high. McGlinchey is solid. He's not spectacular. You have to set a limit on guys like that. And you have to be willing to trust your scouting that I can go in this draft and I can identify somebody that can play right tackle for the Chicago Bears with one of these 10 picks. Yep. And that's what they did. They're saying, you know what, we're not going to pay this dude $18 million a year, you know, to play right tackle. He's not – that's Lane Johnson money. He's not Lane Johnson. Mm-hmm. Right? So they look, what DeVore said, the contract is like 2-year contracts. They haven't – hamstrung themselves. And people think just because the Bears got $40 million in cap space, they got to spend it all this season. No, they don't. There's a cash floor. They have to spend a certain amount of cash. They have to the end of the year to spend the cash. That's different than the cap. Even if the Bears only spend another $10 million and have $30 million in cap, they can roll that money over into next year. So they will go into the 2024 season with a ton of cap space again, two draft picks, and we can do this all over again. See, Ryan Poles is what I like about him. He's playing the long game. He's not getting caught up in getting emotional and trying to do it all right now and spending every single dime he got right now. And then next year, you're already trying to restructure deals because you spent all your money this year. That's what Pace did. We got to learn from your mistakes. He knows that he's going to eventually one day have to pay Justin Fields. He knows that he's going to draft players and he's going to have to keep some of them. You won't be able to keep all of them. That's how you get comp picks. It's a dirty game, right? You draft all these talented players. You can't keep all of them. You re-sign some of them. Some of them will go to free agency. You get draft picks for the guys that went to free agency. Good teams have been doing this for years. Like we talk about the Packers. We be saying, well, the Packers didn't win a Super Bowl. For the past 20 years, the Packers have won double-digit games. I'm looking. Since 2001, they went 12-4, 12-4, 10-6, 10-6. Then they were bad, 4-12, mediocre, 8-8. Then they went 13-3, 6-10, 11-5, 10-6, 15-1, 11-5, mediocre, 8-7. Then they went 12-4, 10-6, 10-6, 7-9, 6-9. Oh, they didn't stand down for long because they went 13-3, 13-3, 13-4. We haven't had back-to-back winning seasons since the Lovie Smith ever. These dudes have run off 3-4 double-digit win seasons in the past 20 years, like 4 or 5 times. That sustains success. When you have a quarterback like Justin Fields, right? You lock your quarterback in a place for the next 15 years, and you got your quarterback. Now, you just build around the quarterback. Everybody else is interchangeable parts. The wide receivers come and go. The running backs come and go. The offensive line comes and go. The defense come and go. That's why you got to have draft picks. And you just keep drafting and developing. And you paying your quarterback, and you can just rotate everyone else out. That's how you win. I think when I hear Bear fans talk, they're caught up in the Ryan Pace, Phil Emery line of thinking, like, oh, we got this one-year window to compete. No. I want my team to be good for several years at a time, to not just be good 1 year and go back to being bad. I want us to be always winning 10, 12 games year after year. Every year we're a Super Bowl contender. Every year we have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. We can make fun of Green Bay all we wanted, but everybody, every year, they always were considered contenders. They didn't take advantage of it, thank God, but they were always considered a contender. The 49ers are always considered a contender, always considered a team. They can make the Super Bowl. We're that team every once every 7 years, bro. You gotta end that cycle, man. And I see too many people on Twitter arguing all day these stupid ass points. Oh, we gotta do this, we gotta do that. Don't trust rookies. Like, what the hell is all these talking points, bro? Let the man do his job. I don't think I recall a time when the Bears had this many draft picks. It's crazy. It's fun going to the draft. Remember when we went to those drafts, we had like four picks? Mm-hmm. First pick of the third round.
Draft over real quick. draft over. Over for the Bears.
Yeah, David Montgomery, Riley Reilly, and Duke Shelley.
Yeah, no picks in the first two days, and then day three, you had maybe 3 picks, and that was it. All right, let's hope some go undrafted.
No, man. No, terrible, man.
Terrible, bro.
Terrible, dude. Terrible, man.
people just gotta pump their brakes a little bit, man. You know what I mean? We've been preaching this, and it's not a matter of, you know, we're not saying, you know, don't expect guys to get better or the team to improve. What we're saying is it can't all be done in one
or
2 off seasons. You're talking about a 53-man roster. You're talking about several different things being done to this roster. It was completely torn down. Let's just be real, right? Mm-hmm. And last year, the Bears, if you go look at the number of snaps for rookies on the football field, the Bears were number one in that category.
By far.
By like almost 200 snaps, yeah. More than any other team. So, you know, you had a lot of rookies on the football field last year. That should let you know where this team is. And then with that being said, some of those guys are good enough to stick around. Some are good enough to be backup. Some won't be here for long, right? Mm-hmm. And now we go through the process of getting some more. It's an influx of talent and youth into the roster. That's what they're doing. They're putting, and that's how you build a roster, but that's how you build a roster for longevity, not for the quick fix. You do a quick fix and you're sitting there like the Rams, right? Mm-hmm. Now the Rams, they were so far ahead though that they only needed a couple Band-Aids here and there. But now they're starting to tear stuff down. You got guys getting traded and, you know, we're in salary cap problems. And look at the Saints. They kept just patchwork. They won the Super Bowl way back in, what, 2010? 2009, something mm-hmm. like that? Right? No, it was before that. It was before that.
Like, yeah. 2008, something like that. It was a while ago.
And since then, Sean Payton was just putting patchwork. Band-Aid here, Band-Aid there. And it never, you know, they never really had any sustained success.
And our last GM came from there.
Yeah. They were just.
And that's what Ryan Pace was doing. Yeah.
Exactly. And he was doing the same exact thing. But they were just always okay. They weren't they weren't in the discussion all the time, right? They were like, well, you got Breeze, so you're going to be in the discussion. But everybody knew they wasn't contenders, really. But you look at a team like what they're doing in Kansas City, that's sustained success because they have a mass influx of youth and athleticism and this, that, and the third. And then you figure out who sticks around, who's a backup, who can we get rid of, and you just keep turning it over and doing the same
thing. Kansas City is a good example because they got the quarterback, they got the coach, and everybody else, they just rotate. They didn't even care about keeping Tyreek Hill. They let Tyreek Hill go. They're like, oh, okay, good, you gone.
That's it.
And they paying Mahomes too, so that's another thing I hear. Well, once you pay the quarterback, Kansas City paying Mahomes? Yeah. They still a contender because they just keep drafting, developing, drafting. They don't go crazy in free agency. You don't see them. They signed all these players in free agency. Five dudes with jerseys standing up with Kansas City. They don't do that.
They let Peters go. They let Tyrann Mathieu go. You know what I mean? They cycle through these guys. Same thing New England. They cycle through everybody. The one constant was Brady and Belichick. That was the one constant, right? Yeah. And everybody else was being cycled through. And it's not because you don't value these guys. It's because that's what you have to do in the NFL in order to stay relevant. Otherwise, you'll hand out a ton of bad contracts and guys will get paid. And that's what Bears fans are used to. And you can tell that they're used to that because it's like they fall in love with their players. I'm just going to be real. Bears fans, you know, it's all about the name, you know what I mean, that's on the back of the jersey. And it's like, man, y'all got to get out of that. Y'all got to get out of that. It's a business at the end of the day. You're in the business of winning games.
That's a fact. And I want people to understand that, you know. And Dan, you hit it right. You hit the nail right on the head. You know, it's, you fall in love with the person and not, you know, and you fall in love with the player, not the team, you know, and we have that bad, you know, and especially when they mediocre is ever, you know, like seriously,
twice hard.
Yeah. Or the fact that they, you know, it's a new name that came to the team. Now they all pros, all world because they play for us. Cut it out, man. This is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And until we see what these players can do, or if we have seen what these players could do when they were with us, and it was less to the imagination, we can't live off yesterday. You know, we can't live off yesterday. And it seemed like that we tend to do that. Oh, well, he was good with such and such. Was he good with us? No. Okay, then. So what are we going off of? You know, so we have to stay focused on being true to the Chicago Bears itself, the team, and not, you know, now. Granted, I understand that some people, you know, you have your players that you love and they fall to your favorite team. Okay, great. But at the same time, I was a Bears fan before they got here. I'll be a Bears fan after they long and gone. So it is what it is. But stay focused on the team and focused on the now. I stated in a previous tweet, you know, where somebody was like, oh, man, you need to stop talking about JSN, man, because that's going to get a lot of Bears fans, you know, to get them all excited to get their feelings hurt if he don't get drafted. I was like, I can tell you don't follow what I got going on and you don't follow me, because whether we draft Jaxon Smith-Njigba or not, I'm still going to be a Bears fan, bro. And I'm still going to be happy with who we picked up and excited to see what they do in this upcoming season. Whether it be JSN, whether it be Paris, whether it be Skronsky, whether it be whoever, even Jalen Carter. If we pick up Jalen Carter, which I doubt, but even if we pick up Jalen Carter, I'm going to be happy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm going to be happy with whoever we pick up because, again, they are a part of something that I've cried over, you know what I'm saying, as a child. I cried for my Bears, man. You know what I'm saying? I fought over my Bears, literally fist to cuffs, as a youngin', bro. People disrespected my squad. You know what I'm saying? And we got the thumping. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, I mean, me living in a Lions market, what do you expect? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And this was during the time where the Lions was going to back-to-back NFC championships, even though they was getting smoked. But, you know, Cass was talking crazy about my Bears. And it was like, nah, duh, we got the box flat out.
Whoa. NFC Championship. When they go to that?
They got smoked by, they went to the NFC Championship one of them years, right before, when they got smoked by the Redskins. I think it was like 91, 92.
Yeah, I think it's the last time they went.
Yeah, it was the last time they went.
92.
Yeah, it was a while back, bro. It was a while back. They got smoked by the Redskins. I think it was like 42-0.
Like 9 years old when that happened.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I think it was like 42-0 or something like that. You know, it was 91, 92, something like that. But Rodney Peake was the quarterback.
Need we say more?
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it was what it was. But at the same time, man, I'm still a fan of the Bears nonetheless. And so I had told this gentleman, you know, I'm like, look, I trust Ryan Poles. I trust where he's taking us. I trust his vision. Yeah. I trust him wholeheartedly. So whoever he get, even if, you know, obviously he feels that this player is better than the person I wanted them to pick up. Okay, so what? And that's why he gets paid to do what he
does. Some people can't get over that, though. Why didn't we sign this guy?
They have to, though.
Pole smokers.
Yeah.
That's what somebody said called pole smokers. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That mental health issue.
Pole dancers and
pole dancers. Yeah, like, I was like, oh, my God, bro. Jesus, we fans, bro. We're supposed to.
Yeah, man. You know, and seriously, you know, people have to understand this. It's like, look, y'all. I understand that you think that this player can help us in a certain, you know, manner, or you feel, but okay, the general manager gets paid exponentially an enormous and robust amount of money to make these decisions. If we trusted Ryan Pace, garbage self, to make these nasty picks to where he covered himself he covered himself and his career professionally in 6 feet of dirt. I mean, Ryan Poles isn't even ankle high in that yet. You know what I'm saying? And y'all ain't gave a man a chance or nothing. He only had one off season, and he turned 5 picks into 11.
You know, I look at the team and what Ryan Poles has done. Like you said, he turned 5 picks into 11 last year. You know, he hit on a nice piece in Braxton Jones. He's signed some of the guys, you know, even the coaching staff. Like, you know, there are some questions that I have with regard to a couple of things and that have gone on. But at the end of the day, he's got the team that they're bought in. It's a rare situation where you have a team go through 10 losses. The Bears went through 10 straight losses. They were 3-4 at one point, right, of last year. And I remember, you know, somebody tried to act like I did something wrong.
I remember that. I already know where you're going.
3-4. I'm like, 3-4. You know, there's a possibility that they they could be better than they were last year. They won 6 games last year.
Yeah.
And at 3-4 with 10 games to go, they might get there. They're halfway there.
Yeah, I think Justin was starting to ball too.
Yeah, that's when he started turning it on.
Yeah.
Now the defense fell apart, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have a problem there. But you know what I mean? That's, you know, it's like, You have people like that, and it's like they're more negative and they look for negative things instead of what's good. What Poles has done with his team has been nothing short of spectacular, man. I mean, to turn over the roster, save money, become the team with the most money in the bank, right? Mm-hmm. Be able to dole out and give these contracts out to people. You think about some of the people that he's gotten in here, right? I made mention of it. We were going over those numbers the other day. We got Robert Tonyan in here. Actually, who creates the most separation? Him, he's tied with Cole Kmet for the league. Mm-hmm. 4.4 yards. So we got another guy that could, you know, he can get open, he can catch the ball, he can do some things. You know what I mean? Is he a top guy? No, he's not, but he's a piece that can be utilized, right? You look at Deontay.
Well, Kmet is the top guy, yeah.
Yeah, Kmet's the top guy, but Tonyan is a piece that we can utilize. You know what I'm saying? You got defensive tackle Andrew Billings. That's a decent piece that you can add to the thing. PJ Walker, that's a nice backup quarterback that's not drastically different. So you don't have to change your scheme. If Justin goes down, you got PJ Walker that goes in there. It's science, bro. This is chess. Yeah.
He has chemistry with DJ Moore.
You know, we have a Justin Fields and a Andy Dalton. They play two different games.
Mm-hmm.
You
know what I'm saying?
But now we have a guy who can come in, and I'm not saying he's a world beater by any stretch of the imagination, but at the end of the day, at least you can still do some of the things that you want to do offensively. You know, you look at the linebacker situation, you know, with Roquan, that's one guy, $60 million guaranteed, $90 million for, or $100 million for the contract, right? we got a guy, we got two guys at $92 million and $60 million guarantee. We saved $8 million and we have two guys that went to the Pro Bowl on the squad.
Facts.
I don't understand why people are looking at these deals and some of the things that he's done and saying, you don't trust it. At that point, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, check mark, he did that right. Check mark, he did this right. It's building trust. It's building faith in what he's doing, you know, for the roster and for the team going forward. So, you know, I'm, you know, you can look at him with some skepticism at the beginning, but once these things start taking off and he's doing the right things, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you got to cut him some slack, man. All these people that's out here trying to, you know, negative, negative, negative. It's like, it ain't a matter of, you know, you can call into question some of the things, but let it be realistic. Don't let it be just for the sake of doing it, just because you pissed off. Like, it don't make sense.
Yeah, and like even with free agency, the crazy thing about free agency, the player has to want to come there.
Yeah.
Like, and then you can't get caught up. You got to be, I'm okay with him setting a ceiling for the bidding war. Some people would have the issue with that. They're like, no, you just pay whatever. Yeah, because you ain't got to stand. You ain't got to live with that decision. It's easy to hop on Twitter and say that. But then 2 years from now, when you can't extend, you know, whoever, you know, because you don't have the money because you paid this guy all this money and you got a balloon contract at the end and you can't keep two of your guys and they got to walk free agency. You got to live with that as a GM. And so they can't get emotionally caught up in that decision. Like, what was it? Trayvon Jones. Everybody was like, we could have signed Trayvon. Nobody even knew who this dude was before this year started, bro. You just saw his name. And all of a sudden you think, oh, pay him whatever he wants.
Pay him whatever.
I don't care. I don't care what you got to pay him. Overpay him. And then he comes here and busts out. And now you talking crazy. Talking about, oh, he's a bust. He only got two sacks.
That's a miss. Cole's missed on that one.
Cole's missed. He got all his money, our cap. I thought you guys said he was good on the cap. Like, I ain't got time for you, bro. Like, let this man, we know this team can't get built in one offseason. We know we need help on the offensive line. We know we need help on the defensive line. We probably need another cornerback. We got 10 picks. Let's see what he does.
Once again, he's addressing the needs, right? He addressed the mm-hmm. wide receiver room with DJ Moore, right? We're in a situation where we got a first, 2 seconds this year, two firsts next year. We got options, man. Like I keep saying, we have options. You know, you got these guys that's coming in at linebacker, young 25, 26 year old guys that you can have play for you for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. You know, there goes Shorty right there.
She says she want to wait. I said, hey, come and wait. Yeah. So yeah, it's a good time to be a Bears fan. I just find it a hard time, man. These people like looking for ways to be mad, bro. This is hard. I'm like, let me find a way to be mad, bro. I'm about to be happy. You know, you're about to turn this draft into like 13 players, bro. That's I'm gonna be on YouTube looking up breakdowns, reading scouting reports. It's fun.
Yep,
I like that.
And look what he's able to do, even with undrafted. We got a guy, Jack Sanborn that you know flew under the radar. We was able to scoop him up and he paid dividends for us last year. So, you know, this guy, he's making the right moves, man. Trust the process. Sit back, relax, take it easy. Complain later.
Yeah.
Go find a woman or something. Let out all that frustration.
Do something, bro. Jeez.
Do something, please.
Make sure she allows you though. Don't take it, man. Make sure.
Yeah, don't say the Three Kings told me to do this, and she didn't give you consent or the okay. All right.
Make sure she consent.
Make sure it's consensual, meaning both parties agree. Don't go out there and catch no rape case. Come on now. Straight
y'all
up.
Y'all too mad. Y'all too mad on Twitter, man. Go watch some DJ Moore highlights. Go watch Justin Fail highlights, man. He got a 20-minute. Yeah, a 20-minute video on NFL.com. Just click it on. When people start hating on Justin Fields, just click on that video and watch it. You'll feel a lot better about him.
I need to pin it to my thing and just sending it out. Every time somebody comes in and starts complaining, I'm just sending it to them. Here, look at that.
Remember we had Andy Dalton at quarterback? Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky? All right. Here you go. All right, man.
That's all I got.
Yeah, that's it, man. It's a nice little quick show, man. Yeah,
nice little quick show.
We'll get back to it next week.
Yes, sir.
Make sure y'all follow us, man. We appreciate y'all, too.
Yes, we appreciate y'all. Stay the course, man, and bear down, baby. We out.
Peace.